Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I want to thank you for being part of the show today. Listen, I would encourage you, connect with us on social media. On social media, you can find us Twitter and Instagram, Facebook. It's at LFSP Podcast, as in Learning from Smart People Podcast. Look us up, make a connection there, and check out the website. Anywhere, we're on YouTube. We're out there. And the reason I'm out there is because of you, the listener, and I really appreciate you being here. And hopefully, you're going to learn from a smart person. My smart person today is Amy Rose Herrick. Amy will show you how to add 10,000 to 100,000 or more to your bottom line this year and every year. She has been a successful entrepreneur for her business lifetime and became an Amazon number one best-selling author with her latest book entitled Pack Faith First, Suitcase Second, A Decade of Miracles After 50, which, as I mentioned, became an Amazon bestseller in February of 2021. Amy, congratulations on that and welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here today.
Yeah, so tell me, I love the title of your book, okay? That faith comes first, suitcase comes second. What inspired you with that?
That chronicles the 10 years that I have been living in the U.S. Virgin Islands, a crazy journey and all the things that happened. It started with my pastor having a word of knowledge, something we'd never had before. And I looked at my husband and said, we're going to be living somewhere with a beach by the end of the year. We lived in Topeka, Kansas, which sounded pretty far-fetched. Many things happened very quickly. We moved to the Virgin Islands with no friends, no family, no jobs, and it has been the absolute best life do-over we could have imagined. So that goes over because so many people, they had asked about parts of the story and things that had happened. And so right at the 10-year mark, which was January, I had the book finished and put it up in February and then was just flabbergasted that it went so quickly to number one. So it's been a wonderful ride.
That's awesome. So you moved down there, you've got no job. Is that the beginning of your entrepreneurial experience or is that the next step in your entrepreneurial experience?
That was really the next step. I've been an entrepreneur, worked in the corporate world, did some other things, and then in 1991, flipped over to really being on the self-employed mode and have been there ever since. Coming to St. Croix, there were a few things that I was able to take with me, but most people don't move unless you've got a job or a contract or something. We did. And a lot of that was based on faith, and God was faithful. And many things have happened. And for those of you who ever thought about doing a life do-over, been there, done that, lots of learning, and think about everything you're doing now, everything from when you got up to the grocery stores you go to, the food you buy, you're older. You know, we have to make new friends too. And making new friends, we did all of that from square one.
Right. Well, hey, good news is today you've made a new friend with me, and I'm hoping that our listeners will be your new friends as well and part of that extended circle of friendship. So as you're working with this, you're an entrepreneur and you're developing your expertise. Not only are you working with your business, but you're now helping other people to increase their bottom line. So everybody wants to increase profit. There's no unless to that. Everybody wants to do that. And so your goal is to help folks with this, and they're doing it without a whole lot of outlay of money. Can you talk to me a little bit about, you know, some of the ideas that you have? And maybe we can start with, where are you suggesting we not spend money? And then we can get into where to go.
Yeah, great question. And so with a lot of individuals over the years, and see, I've worked in the corporate world. I've done cost accounting. I've done inventory control, payroll, owned my own businesses. I've sold businesses. So I have a lot of history. I'm also a tax preparer, chartered financial consultant. Really, if it touches money, that's what I've been doing for all of my career. What I find is there are a lot of business owners that started out as a really great employee, but moving from being a really great employee to being a really great business owner is a huge leap. And there isn't this one size fits all course to help you do that.
Right.
What happens is you excel in the areas you know, and then you're failing in the profit area because you're not familiar with it. I see individuals that make mistakes on spending money on advertising that doesn't give them a return or an ROI. We have ways we can fix that. We have individuals that really have struggled with, do I rent or do I buy a location? And that can make a difference of thousands and thousands of dollars to your bottom line if you make the right or the wrong choice. I have one, this will be a real quick example. You can make mistakes in how you are pricing your goods and services. It doesn't matter whether you're brick and mortar or you are internet based or service based, whatever you are. There was one individual that in working with it, they had a particular service that they priced at $150 an hour because that seemed like a really good number.
Sure.
Well, when we went back and spent some time really costing out what it cost for the employee, and there's three levels to that. Your hard cost, your soft cost, and then I've got your overhead or operating costs. And when we looked at what it actually cost to provide the service, it cost $198 an hour to provide the service that we're charging $154. So every time we sell it,
right,
we're losing money.
Yeah.
And that's why with the different business dynamics, there are so many different areas that we can increase the profits. And you just kind of work on them one at a time, but you got to know what they are. And business owners are not always trained to do that.
Right. So it is so interesting. And you bring this up. A lot of times entrepreneurs have a certain skill set. And so they envision themselves, whatever it was that they're good at, they envision themselves doing that. But that service or that whatever it is that you do is only a very small part of being an entrepreneur, because now you're in a place where you need to run a business. Okay.
Yes.
And those are the skills that nobody gives you when you're coming in to say, okay, you get basically running a business 101. You kind of are out there. And I actually just, I just had a episode with a guy named Michael Dermer who started a project called The Lonely Entrepreneur. And he talks about how difficult that the experience of being an entrepreneur is. Sometimes you can just feel all alone, like you have no idea what you're doing and you're not sure where you're going and you wish you were making more money, but you just don't know how to do it. So you're working with this, and as you're doing this, you mentioned advertising. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because so many times, like Facebook wants you to advertise with them. Instagram wants you to advertise with them. Everywhere you go, they're saying advertise with us. How do you know like where to go with advertising, what to spend on it, and how not to lose your shirt?
All right. Excellent question. And one of the resources that we'll be talking about at the tail end will be really helpful to some of your listeners. When you have advertising, the first thing that, you know, most people look at is the price tag. I don't care if you're looking at it, it's $50, $500, $5,000, $50,000. I don't care what your budget is. But the bottom line with advertising is if I spend that money, I have got to have an ROI or a return on investment. So if I spend $50,000 or $5,000, let's take $5,000. It's a number people can absorb. If I spent $5,000 and I only brought in sales of $1,000, I already know that I've lost money. But beyond that, what is my cost on that $1,000? So I may have sold $1,000, but what if my profit was only $100? So on this $5,000 of advertising, I sold $1,000, but my profit was only $100. Ouch, this is killer.
Right.
Now, if I did this 12 months a year, I've lost almost $60,000, right?
Sure.
Okay. Now, if I could take a quick little formula, and I would know before I signed that contract how much money I was going to make and whether this was going to work, do you think it would make a difference to your bottom line?
Of course.
most people don't know how to do the formula, or they don't know how to start. And remember, I mentioned that $150 service that cost $198 to provide. Mm-hmm. Well, what if that was the key service that I was promoting? So as part of the advertising is knowing before you ever do it, whether I can promote this and it will work for me, or if it is just going to be money that I call down the black hole that sucks all your profits away from your bottom line. Now, on the flip side, if I knew how to do the formula and I went through and I spent just a few minutes, this isn't days, a few minutes, and walked through it, and I said, wow, okay, I'm going to mark my service up and I'm going to make $100 on this service. This is what my price is. Let's pretend that I'm making $100 per service, and let's pretend that I'm going to spend $1,000 on advertising because I like round numbers.
Okay.
Well, 1,000 divided by 100 means 10. So I have to be very confident that I could sell 10 services to break even just to pay for the advertising. Are you with me so far?
I'm following you so far. This is
now very basic,
yep.
But I know that when I start on the 11th sale and above, then I have got a return on my advertising. Now, if I look at this and it is just out there and I go, realistically, I'm only going to get 3 people who are going to buy this. I'm not going to do it because it's going to cost me money. Now, if I look at this and I've tweaked it and I know what I've done before and I go, oh, shoot, yeah, I'll put this out. And in the next 2 weeks, I will sell 25 of these. So I will be making back my $1,000 I spent, and I'll have another $1,500. So I would have a $1,500 ROI on my $1,000. So I would have a 150% ROI. And so advertising, if you know how to do some of these things, you can swing from losing $60,000 a year if you don't know how to do it and you keep doing it, all the way to what if I'm making, even if this isn't a big number, if I'm making $1,500 a month, so what's that times 12? Okay, 12,000, well, shoot, 15 grand. Huge swing between losing 60 and gaining 15.
Right. It makes.
And this is stuff that people are not always taught. It's not in a business plan. A business plan is great. It's your rose-colored glasses version. Doesn't tell you how you're going to make the sales.
Sure. And it makes perfect sense. It's something that most people have said aren't aware of and aren't thinking about. And it's just a matter. So how do you help people to kind of think through things before they happen? Because a lot of times you're under pressure and it's, I got to do something. I got to make money somehow. Let me try this. And it's almost like a wild goose chase where you're running this way, you're running that way. And at the end of the day, you've put in a lot of effort and you've spent a lot of money and you're missing that return on investment. How do you help with that?
Well, see, I could walk on premises to any business and I can say with absolute certainty, I can find more than $10,000. Just let me walk around for a couple of minutes and I can tell you where you're losing it and how to fix it. But I can't be everywhere. I also deal with clients on a one-on-one basis, but I have put together courses that go over at present. There's a little over 35 on specific areas, and with many of them that they have workbooks that go with them. So I'm not only teaching you in a short period of time. I mean, most of these are 45 minutes or less, 10 or 15. If I can get you the concept and then I can show you the formula in a lot of cases in the workbooks, you're able to repeat that. Whether you first need to know how to do it as a business owner, after you know how to do it, you can delegate it to staff and they can do it. And so it's teaching individuals. And one of the things that I hope your listeners pick up on, and by listening to this broadcast, that's one of the thing on the podcast they're willing to do. You have to be teachable. And if you're listening, I already know you're willing to be teachable. So if you're teachable, you can use resources that give you the methods, give you the formula, help you understand it, be able to ask questions if need be. And then you can repeat the action over and over again, whether you use it in the business that you have Or you sell it and you go on to another business, because many entrepreneurs will have more than one business. Right. And if you learn a concept, you can transfer it to another endeavor.
Yeah. Well, okay. So this is one of those things. I laugh about this because your shampoo is rinse, lather, repeat, right? But those are if those are the instructions, you're going to be in the shower all day because it's rinse, lather, repeat, rinse, lather, right? And you'll never get out of the shower. However, in business, if it's apply the formula, evaluate the results, repeat, like that is something that is going to be, that's going to perpetuate you staying in business forever. So instead of you being stuck in the shower forever, you're in business and it's going to keep you moving forward, which is exactly what you're trying to do.
Oh yeah. And let me tell you about it's called Amy's Rule of 10. I'm going to teach you about Amy's Rule of 10. My Rule of 10 is that anytime you look at making a change in your business, I want you to look at the annual event, and then I want you to multiply it by 10, because once you establish a habit with a cell service you buy, if you use Netflix, if you go down and get coffee, whatever your habit is, once you establish it, how often do you break the pattern? Mm. You don't.
Right.
So if I am looking at making a change in my business, and let's say this change comes out to be $10 a month, which is $120 a year. Okay, it's worth $1,200 over the next 10 years. You know, that change may not be worth my staff time to put it in place. But if I do the math and I say, wow, this is going to gain me $1,000 a month or a week.
Right.
Let's say it's $1,000 a week. Wow, that's $52,000 this year. Times 10 years is $520,000. Can you do anything with $520,000 more profit?
Sure.
Absolutely. So by learning the concepts and being able to put very quickly an answer on whether this is a go or a no-go, and then being able to look at the results and use your multiplier to say, okay, this is what it'll do for me this year. This is what it'll do for me 10 years. It can put an entirely different motivation factor. And it also is very helpful in making decisions on whether you decide to expand a service, or if you decide to add an employee. What's this employee going to cost me in a year? What's that going to cost me in 10 years? Am I really going to get a return on this?
Right. Okay. So your rule of 10 is figure out what it's going to save or generate per month, figure that out to a year, and then take a look at 10 years of how that works. It makes a lot of sense. Let me just ask as well.
It's very simple, but you know, I'll use it for example. This is a very simple example, and where all these things can add up. My bank was making a change. I do a lot of mobile deposits. Take a minute, take a picture, go on. Don't go to the bank.
Sure.
But with that, well, this bank I had been using for almost 40 years, changing the program, and they were going to charge me like $5 a month and 75 cents a check. I made a couple of quick phone calls. I went through and did the math and said, I'm not willing to spend $750 a year in order for me to take a picture of a check and deposit the money with your bank.
Right.
Yes, it took. Yes, I had to order a little different checks. Yes, you know, I got it. It took me a few minutes, but I said, gee, $750 times 10 years is $7,500. That was worth me spending a couple of minutes on and spending a little bit of time getting new checks written, because I didn't want to pay $7,500 to take pictures of checks to deposit in a bank.
Sure.
That was worth it to me.
Makes a lot of sense. I want to circle back to something you said earlier. You were talking about a business plan and how many people start, you know, they write their business plan and they're starting their business. Besides writing a business plan, do you have any tips for folks that are in the early process of working on a business and building that up?
Yes, but it's not probably going to be what you think. Okay. When you build a business plan, the biggest thing that I see unprotected is the owner's income stream. The worst thing that can happen is you have ditched whatever your income is and you've gone into this, and now you have an immediate health crisis. You have a car accident. Something happens. When I'm working with the people who want to switch over to entrepreneur, I usually recommend that before you separate from that W-2 or that other income stream, that we get in place adequate disability insurance. In the event that you just get this endeavor started and something occurs, we've got to make sure that we replace your income stream. And in some cases, we can also do a business interruption or put some other things in place. But if we have all of your income tied up through the business and we don't have your income protected in the event of, like I said, accident or disability, we're going to lose it all.
Okay.
And that may not have been the answer you were expecting, but that's where I see a huge break for some individuals, because once they start the business, they need to show a profit, and normally they won't be able to get that type of coverage for at least 2 tax years. So okay. This may take 3 years before they've established an income to be able to base it on. And to me, that is too big of an income gap.
Right.
When your whole future is riding on it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It definitely not what I was expecting, but it is a way to protect you and to protect your family and your future, really, in what you're doing. That's really powerful. And I guess you have some suggestions on how to get that done, because it's not what people usually would think of.
No. Remember my round numbers that I like so well?
Sure.
Let's pretend that you make $10,000 a month doing whatever it is you're doing before you have moved to be an entrepreneur. If your employer has a group disability plan, you may already be on it, and you may have the opportunity where they have the word portable, P-O-R-T-A-B-L-E, portable.
Okay.
So you may be able to convert that within 30 days of leaving over to an individual policy. It will probably cost you more, but then you can take that benefit with you. Depends on the amount, but that might be a route. You also can reach out in your area to, I will say, a qualified insurance agent. This is not your nephew who started 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
This is a qualified agent, and say, hey, I need some disability. And there would be carriers, because every jurisdiction, like a state, every state will have like a menu of products that are approved in that jurisdiction.
Okay.
And that's why you need an agent there who can help you see what's available on a true disability policy. There are also hybrid products where you can buy a life insurance contract that has a disability component on it, where it would pay you a lump sum for like a heart attack, a major issue that is tax-free. And then it also could pay you a monthly amount of income that would reduce the death benefit. I tend to like those policies, because if you pay the premiums, if you die, your heirs are going to get money.
Okay.
If you have a disability, you're going to get money. When you die, then they're still going to get money.
Sure.
If you have a disability product, what I recommend is you look for a ROP, which stands for return of premium. You may pay the premiums on this policies, and many of them are set up that if you pay it for 10 or 20 years, that they will, when you cancel it at that point, you don't need it anymore, they will refund all or part of your premiums if you have had claims during that frame. And I kind of look at it as an extra retirement resource.
Okay.
If you don't need it, wonderful. Get your money back. If you did need it, wonderful.
Right.
You got the benefits. But for those of us who have bought car insurance for how many years and you've never turned in a claim, do they ever give you any of your money back?
Definitely not.
So you have options.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to talk to a qualified professional or someone like me, someone who has the option to say, well, here's some things that might work in your dynamics.
Yeah.
And you put those in place.
You bring up car insurance, and car insurance is one of those things that I live in Pennsylvania where it's state mandated. You must have car insurance, but then you get penalized if you actually use it. So what you're talking about, though, that ROP, the return of premium.
Of premium.
Is a concept that really makes a lot of sense to say, listen, you've put all this money into it. What are you going to get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that,
and you pay a little bit more for it.
Okay.
But if the intention is you're going to have this for a long period of time, you understand the terms of the contract.
Sure.
So you can either, it is a rider, or it is an option. It is an extra. Not every company has it, but some do. And that could make a decision. If you said, you know, I don't care about this later, I just need the absolute least expensive coverage, you have the option. But the biggest thing is we got to protect that income. And when you buy disability insurance on a personal basis, meaning that you own the policy, whenever you receive those proceeds, they are tax-free. So even if you're doing that in a work environment, I recommend people do not put this through their cafeteria plan. Pay it with after-tax dollars. You don't want to save $12 a month. And then when you receive the benefits, which are only going to be about 60% of your wages anyway, you're going to have to pay taxes on the 60%.
Right.
So you always pay for disability with after-tax dollars.
Got it. It makes sense again. Listen, Amy, you have been fantastic. If people are looking to find out more about you or to find you on the web, where can they find you? What's the easiest way to do that?
The easiest way to do that is to go to my website, thesecretprofits.com. And if you go there, I mentioned earlier, there is a resource there that you can download. It's a free ebook. And it is 7 solutions to add $10,000 to $100,000 to your bottom line. That's free. Download it. You're welcome to get that. There's a link there that if you'd like to schedule a 30-minute discovery call with me at no charge, you can do that. So those are the two easiest ways. And then at the website, too, if you are interested in just looking at some courses, thesecretprofits.com/courses.
Wonderful.
Very easy to find.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd encourage folks to check that out. Depending on where you are, I really appreciated the fact that you've got insight for people that are starting and insight for people that have been in business for a while. And who wouldn't want to add some profit to the bottom line, especially when you take it and you look at it from the rule of 10 to say, okay, it may only be $10,000 this year, but over the course of the next 10 years, that's $100,000. I'm not real good with math, but I got that one figured out.
Exactly. And don't waste that opportunity for a 30-minute discovery call. Don't
sure.
waste this, folks. I don't care where you're at. It's, well, I don't know who to ask. Ask me. And if I don't know the answer, if I'm not it, then I will try to refer you on to get the answer. Because we're all in this together. And what really has bothered me for so long is that 60% of the businesses are failing. They're failing to make a profit.
Right.
They're barely breaking even. We can't have that number. That's robbing our future, and that's robbing the resources from our families. We've got to change that. But in order to change that, we've got to be profitable.
Sure. Excellent. Well, Amy, thank you so much. We have come to 3 questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these?
This would be interesting. You bet.
All right. You brought up the rule of 10. So the question is, in 10 years, where do you see yourself?
My husband and I will differ on that answer.
Okay.
I love it here in the Virgin Islands, but in 10 years, I would like to be in a position with some family issues that have been resolved so that I can be living a 2-suitcase life, and that I've already been through Ecuador and that I've already been over into the Asian continent. So I would like to be in 10 years living a vagabond lifestyle with no more than 2 suitcases.
An admirable idea. More power to you. If there was an Amy Rose Herrick warning label, what would the Amy Rose Herrick warning label say?
That's easy. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. If you want to push my button, lying to me every time will work.
That works. Okay. I won't. I promise. you're living in the Virgin Islands. We always ask a food question here. And so what is it that you are eating down there that you're like, I never would have imagined that I was going to eat this, or this is a flavor that I was, or is there a style of cooking? What is it about the cuisine in the area there that you are enjoying?
I really did not understand what a difference it makes to live in a place where you literally pick stuff off the trees and you eat it. I had no idea that avocados come the size of cantaloupes and they're very buttery. I didn't know avocados are shaped like light bulbs. and hanging from the trees. I love avocados when they're in season. We have a mango tree here. It's confused. It bears 3 times a year, and they're only supposed to do once. The Julie mangoes are fabulous. Carambola fruit, which some of you call star fruit, is over here. There are little yellow plums. They're only the size of your thumb. I would say all of the fruit, star apples, they're not shaped like stars.
Okay.
Soursop. Guava berries. Oh, guava berries make really good rum.
Okay.
I really never appreciate, and I can grow my own pineapples now. I grow them off of the tops, and you plant them in the yard. It takes about a year and a half. And just off of the tops of pineapples, I grow those. And it's really exciting when we get the twins and triplets. That's where they sprout out 2 or 3.
Okay.
So I would have to say I just never knew how good fruit could taste. Bananas. There are so many varieties. And these great big fat ones are they're kind of like really big fat cigars.
Okay.
They taste like vanilla pudding, and they call them figs. It's
there
just...
You know what? You have inspired me to thinking about all the different types of fruit, and it sounds absolutely wonderful. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's a great perspective. So thank you. Thank you for sharing about what's going on there in the Virgin Islands, and they should get you on the tourism board because I have Southern family, and so you have flung a craving for some kind of fresh fruit on me, which is great. Amy Rose Herrick, thank you so much for being on today. You have shared a lot. To all my listeners, thank you for being here today. I hope that you have learned. Go check out what Amy's got to offer. And in the meantime, I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.